climbs in my lap for a good night hug. He calls me Dad and I call him Bud. With his faded old pillow and a bear named Pooh, he snuggles up close and says, I wanna be like you. Tuck him in bed and I kiss him goodnight, tripping over the toys as I turn out the light. And I whisper a prayer that someday he'll see he's got a father in God, 'cause he's seen Jesus in me. Lord, I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I wanna be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible boy that my little boy can be. I wanna be just like you, because he wants to be like me. Got to admit, I've got so far to go. Make so many mistakes, and I'm sure that you know. Sometimes it seems, no matter how hard I try, with all the pressures of life, I just can't get it all right. But I'm trying so hard to learn from the best, being patient and kind, filled with your tenderness. 'Cause I know that he'll learn things that he sees, and the Jesus he finds will be the Jesus in me. Lord, I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible boy that my little like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. Right now, from where he stands, I may seem mighty tall, but it's only 'cause I'm learning from the best father of them all. Lord, I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me.
Thank you, Brother Ryan. I appreciate that. Would you pray with me as we continue in an attitude of worship this morning? Father, we're solely, truly grateful, Lord, for your blessings in our life. And dear God, if I could just challenge our dads this morning to be just like you, because our sons want to be like us. Holy Spirit, I pray, dear God, that you would speak to hearts today. Lord, that the lost would be saved. Dear God, that fathers would take seriously their responsibility to take their place, to serve, to lead, to guide, to be the example that they need to be for you. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Title of my message this morning is Dad, Report for Duty. Dads have a very important job. Today is a day that we honor fathers, and I think that's a good thing. This day every year, and the third Sunday of June, is set aside for the purpose of recognizing fathers in our country. But let me help you to understand, we don't honor fathers just because it's a holiday. We don't honor fathers just because it's a tradition, or just because it's a day for good sales in our country. But the reason that we honor fathers today is because God tells us to. The scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." God said he would honor children who honor their parents. And so today we honor fathers because it's the right thing to do. Notice what the scripture didn't say. The scripture didn't say that only honor the good moms and dads. It doesn't say honor them if you like them. It doesn't say honor the right ones. It says honor your father and mother, for this is right. And so today we set this day aside to honor dads. Dad, I want to speak directly to you today. And if you're a man in this service and you're not a father, don't think that you're exempt. Because men are all charged with the responsibility of living the right kind of testimony before children and grandchildren. And I want you to understand today that there's a war going on. And I'm not talking about a war in Afghanistan or Iraq or Iran. I'm not talking about the war that's taking place in the streets of America. I'm talking about a war that has a greater effect, and that is the war in the home. And if you don't know or understand that your home is a battlefield, you either have a perfect home, and I've never seen one of those, or you are clueless, one of the two. Because the greatest battle that exists today exists in the home. And let me help you to understand something this morning. As the home goes, so goes the church. And as the home goes, so goes a nation. So we need to understand that this morning. It's an important war. And the reality is that today we're losing it. We are losing the greatest battle of all time. You say, why would you say that, Brother Don? I say it for this reason. You look around this room and look for young people in this room this morning. Where are they? Why is it that young people in greater numbers are leaving the American church? Why is it? We send them off to college. Families spend all kinds of money to educate them. To do what? To learn how to revolt against the government? To learn how to break things? Where are we as a nation today? We are losing the battle. But it's nothing new. It's been happening for thousands of years. It is not new. I want to tell you about a biblical story this morning that is going to serve as our guide for this message this morning. I want you to turn in the scripture this morning, if you would please, to the book of Judges, chapter number 2. Let me give you a little background about what's happening here in the second book or the second chapter of the book of Judges. The nation of Israel has just marched into the promised land. They are settling into the land. But the victory wasn't complete because they did not follow everything that the Lord told them to do. And now they're suffering as a consequence. With this in mind, let us read this important passage beginning in verse number 6. Notice what the scripture says. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went, everyone into his own inheritance, to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them. And they bowed themselves unto them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Let's read verse 13 and 14. Let's add that. And they forsook the Lord, and they served Baal and Ashtaroth. And notice the response. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Now let me ask you a question this morning. Did God love Israel? Yes, he did. Does he care about Israel? Yes, he does. What in the world is going on? What is going on is that Moses has died. He's off the scene. The one who follows his place, his position, is Joshua. He has died. So Moses' influence is gone. Joshua's influence is gone. The elders that served under Joshua are now gone. And there is no leader in Israel. There is no spiritual leader in Israel. There's no one to lift the banner high. There's no one to declare, "Thus saith the Lord." It is a brand new generation. Now let me help you to understand something this morning. In a spiritual sense, we reflect Israel, and I'm speaking about America this morning. Why do I say that? I say it because America was built on Christian principles. America was founded by men of God, men and women of God who believed this book. But as you look around America today, where are the great spiritual leaders of the past? My friend, they are gone. Who is going to hold high the standard? Who is going to teach the children, "Thus saith the Lord"? Men, it's time to report for duty. It is time to report for duty. It is time to stand up as men in our homes and declare, "Thus saith the Lord." It is now time. We are losing the battle. Children are leaving the church in record numbers. They're going off into godless colleges where the Bible is not taught, where the Bible at one time was respected and revered, and now it's not even in the classroom. Do you understand and do you realize that in the founding of our nation, the greatest institutions that were ever founded upon the Word of God? Do you understand this morning that Dartmouth and Yale and Vassar and many of these colleges of the past started as preaching schools? Do you understand this morning that the Word of God was highly esteemed in the educational system? You would be hard-pressed to find a Bible in those schools today. Why? Because a new generation has come along. A generation who did not know the forefathers. And the reality is that history is not being taught in our schools anymore. We're not being told that we were one nation under God. We send our children to godless school systems that don't even teach the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. Prayer has been booted out of the public square, out of the public school. Coaches today are fired in high schools because they dare to kneel at the 50-yard line and to lead those young football players who wish to have prayer. Not forcing them, but who just simply decide that they want to have prayer. They are being fired from their jobs. Men, it is time to report for duty. It is time to show up. It is time to look at what the Bible says. It is time to look to the things as they are, not as they were. We live in a culture today that approves the turning away from God. It can be a court case. It can be a popular TV show or a movie. And what is the theme? The theme is it's okay to make fun of religion. Because after all, religion today is not important to the world. It's not relevant, they say. It worked for mom and dad, but it is not for me. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be my own person. I don't need God. I don't need the church. I don't need nationalism. I am going to do my own thing. How can we make a difference? I want to give you three areas this morning. Dad, there's three things that are mentioned that I want you to show you from Scripture this morning that you need to do to win the war in your home. Look, if you would please, with me, if you would this morning, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Hold your place there in Judges and go to Deuteronomy this morning, chapter number 6. Begin to read with me in verse number 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of the house and on thy gates. So what is the first thing that I want to challenge you dads to do today? I want you to challenge your children with your words. I want you to challenge your children this morning with your words. Words are important, are they not? Words are important in your life. I want you to talk to your children. I want you to be involved in their lives. I want you to tell your children about God and tell them about the Bible. Tell them that the Bible is the Word of God. You see, this book here doesn't just contain the Word of God. It is the very Word of God. So I want you to speak to your children the things of this book. My mother told me of a day when she was a child that every day in their home, Father would read the Scripture. There was a time of the day that Father would gather the family together and read to them the Word of God. What does God instruct Moses to tell the fathers to do? To read to them the Word of God. I mean, put placards everywhere with Scripture on it. You'll be hard-pressed to come to Berean Baptist Church and not find Scripture somewhere any month of the year that you come. Why? Because we want you to leave with the Word of God in your heart. Dads, if you are going to win the war, the battle that is in your home, the battle for your kids, you are going to have to teach them the Word of God. What does God instruct fathers to do, parents to do? To train up a child in the way that he will go, and when he is old, he will do what? He will not depart from it. Why is that? Because there's just something about the Word of God. It is powerful. The Bible says that it is more powerful than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is powerful. It is mighty, and it will help you through your day. I hope you spend time in the Scripture. I hope you teach your children to spend time in the Scripture. When we were raising our children, every morning at breakfast, we would have a devotion. And before we would eat, we would spend time in the Word of God. We would have a short lesson from the Scripture so that our children would learn the Word of God. Do you understand that when you learn the Scripture as a child, it will stay with you all of your life? Do you understand that the Holy Spirit cannot call to your memory something that you have not put there? But if you will learn the Scripture, if you will memorize Scripture, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to you when it's needed. You might be witnessing to somebody, and then all of a sudden there's just a thought comes into your mind. The Lord will give you a Scripture that you've committed to heart that you can share with somebody else to teach them about Jesus Christ, because you took the time, you made the effort to learn the Word of God. Fathers, dads, I challenge you to speak words to your children, good words, not evil words. Good things. Have you ever noticed that children are just like magnets? They repeat back the things that you say. I don't have to be around children very long, and I understand the conversation that goes on in the home. I love it. Brother Ryan's leading the singing up here, and his daughter's down here. And have you ever watched her? She's just belting out that music. She's just belting out those words. She's singing those words. And some people will say it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. And that little child who's foul-mouthed and says things that are awful, where do you think they heard those words? It's a story of a little boy who was cussing like a sailor. And his mother said, "Son, where did you learn those words?" And he looked at his dad and said, "Should I tell her?" We laugh about that, but it's a tragedy. These words need to be spoken. The word of God needs to be spoken in the home. I challenge you this morning as dad, show up, teach your child. You are charged with the responsibility. You say, "I have delegated that responsibility to my wife." Let me tell you something you can't delegate. And that's responsibility. And dad, it is you who will give an account to the Lord for how your children are raised. There was a study that was made some years ago to determine the amount of interaction between fathers and their small children. First, the fathers were asked to estimate the amount of time that they spent each day communicating with their children. The average answer was about 15 to 20 minutes. That was the average. So the researchers decided to investigate to see if this was the case. So they put microphones on the dads and they followed them around. This was the result. The average time spent by the average middle class father with their small children was 37 seconds per day. 37 seconds. It resulted in an exchange of approximately 2.7 encounters per day, totaling 37 seconds. Do you understand why we're losing the battle in the home? Now let me ask you a question. How much time does the world spend with your children? They have them from 8 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm not here to, criticize teachers. I know that we have many good teachers in our school system who are godly people and who tried to make a difference. I get that. I understand that. But that's not the norm. And as I look back in my education in Albuquerque Public Schools, I saw an eighth grade algebra teacher who was an alcoholic, who could not get through the day without excusing herself, leaving the room, taking her purse with her. What do you think she was doing? She was having a drink. I had teachers that were vile, and that was in the late 60s. What do you think it's like today? It is amazing to me what teachers think that it's okay to teach in public school. And we wonder why they come out of school and they can't read. I look at mail that comes to the church. People that think they live at church, they give our address. Grown people today don't even know where they live. Recently, I received a letter from Northern Arizona University written to one of their alumni. College educated, an alumni supporter of that institution, gave our address as his return address. I couldn't help myself. I scratched our address out. I wrote on there, wrong address. so much for higher education. If they don't teach the basics, how in the world are they going to teach morality? Understand, Dad, you cannot delegate your children or delegate the teaching responsibility of your children to the public school system. And as much as I love Berean Baptist Church and the people who teach in our ministry, you cannot rely on 1 hour of Sunday school a week or kids' paradise during the worship service. It used to be called Kids Paradise, it's junior church now. Or Patch Kids on Wednesday nights. When God gave the charge to train up a child in the way that he should go, that charge was not to the church. That charge was to mom and dad. Challenge your children. Train your children with your words and make sure it is the word of God. Dad, report for duty. Is it any wonder we are losing the battle? You say, Brother Dom, what difference does it make? Did you not listen to the scripture? The Lord said, if you ignored my teaching, if you will not listen to what I have to say, I will let the nations around you devour you. What is happening to America today? America is being devoured by our neighbors. America has not won a war since World War II. You check it out. We have turned the education of our children over to a godless system. We have divorced ourselves from any responsibility. And then we sit back and we wonder, why aren't these kids loving God? It's because we're not doing the job in the home. Dad, Mom, report for duty. Show up. Train your children. Teach them the word of God. Give them, thus saith the Lord. Number two, the second thing that I want you to see is I want you to give them your time. Give them your time. Robert Schuller, who was the former pastor of the Crystal Cathedral, once said that he chose to fail so he could succeed. Now, I'm not a fan of Robert Schuller, and that's not my purpose this morning to promote him, but I think this is a good statement. Listen to it. He says, I chose to fail at golf because I wanted to succeed as a father. He said this in spite of the fact that he loved golf immensely. But he knew that he could never devote adequate time to his job, his hobby, and his family. So he gave up his hobby. Dad, you not only need to sow words of wisdom to your children, you also need to spend time with them. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy for just a moment. Chapter number 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Dad, the words need to be in your heart, and you need to share them with your kids. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. How in the world are we going to do that if we do not spend time with our children? You say, Brother Don, I have to work. I have to earn an income. Yes, you do, because that is the least that you should do, because you brought those children into the world and you should take care of them. That is your responsibility. I agree with you. But not at the expense of never spending time with your kids. Dad, more than that Mustang that you want to buy Junior, you need to spend quality time with that boy. You need to take him fishing. You need to spend some time with him. You need to teach him some things. You need to teach him to be a man. That is more important than the things that you buy him. You spend time with that child. He is your offspring. There's a story told of a little girl. She's painting a picture and she's so excited and she runs into Daddy. He says, Daddy, Daddy, I want you to come see the painting that I'm painting. I want you to come and see it. And Dad says, oh, honey, I'm busy right now. I can't do it. I'll get there as soon as I can. So the little girl scurries off and she's working on her picture. And then she comes in about 10 minutes. She gets back up on her daddy's lap and she says, she holds Daddy's face and she says, come see the picture that I'm painting, Daddy. And Daddy, he's a little irritable by this time. He says, honey, I can't come right now. I'll come when I can. Daddy's busy. So a couple hours pass and Dad finally comes out and he finds the little girl and he says, show me your picture, honey. And she says, sure, come and see it. And he looks at the picture and there's little brother and she's in the picture and mom's there and the family pet is there and the family's on the lawn and they're just enjoying the day. And Dad says, oh, honey, that's a wonderful picture, but I just have a question. How come I'm not in the picture? She says, Dad, because you were in the office. You spend time with that child. You know what they're going to remember? They're going to remember when Dad got crazy and he chased them around the backyard with a water hose in the summer and they ran through the sprinklers together. That's what they're going to remember. And they're going to remember the times that you had fights with them, the pillow fights and the water balloons and the food fights. The stuff won't matter. Dad, those children need your words. They need your time. And that's going to require effort on your part. They're going to remember you wrestling with them. That's the things that they're going to hold close in their heart. That's the things that they're going to remember. Spend time. Sow words of hope and comfort and joy and peace into their little hearts and minds, because I guarantee you those are the things that they're going to hold valuable. Let them remember that you love their mother. And you weren't bashful about it. Those are the things that they are going to remember. Thirdly, show that you love them by your life. By the life that you live. Go with me, if you would please, to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And verse number 18. Follow along with me as I read. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God is speaking. Notice what he says. For I know him. God is saying this about Abraham. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Dads, I challenge you today. Teach the right words to your children. Words of faith and hope. Words of praise to God. Words of love and admiration and not hate. Spend time with them and then live the right kind of life before them. The way you live your life will be a direct reflection of how your children will grow up. I did not know that Ryan was going to sing that song this morning. I want to be just like you, because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you because he wants to be like me. Dad, what kind of example are you setting for your kids? Your words may say some things about you, but your life declares who you really are. Are you fighting the war with your life? I want to address the children at this point. Let me speak to you this morning. Kids, life isn't always what you want it to be. And sometimes it's not the best. And many times it's not pleasing to God. There's some of you this morning that have fathers who were absent when you were growing up. They were derelict in their duty. How can you honor your father even in times of great difficulty? How in the world do you get through without a good father? I want to share a story with you. There was a family. They lived in the east part of the country. Dad left the home when this boy was 2 years of age. Moved 2,000 miles away with one of the older boys in the family. He was absent for a year. This family didn't know when Dad left the home that this is the last time the whole family would be under the same roof. They didn't know that because Dad was moving west to look for a job, to make a better life. After a year, the mother became impatient. She wanted the family to be together, and so she packed everything up that would fit in the car, a 1950 Chevrolet sedan. 8 kids and mom. And they journey across country. They sold everything so they could make the trip. Dad and the other 8 children arrive 2,000 miles away from their home, only to find that Dad is living with another woman. It causes a fracture in the family. The oldest daughter moves back east to get married too young. Another daughter runs away to San Diego, 14 years of age, gets married. There will only be two children who will graduate with a high school education because the other kids have to go to work to help mom. After a year of coming to this new location, the family, the mom and dad divorce. Dad eventually moves further west, another 800 miles, 1,000 miles. There doesn't seem to be much hope for this family. They didn't know that when they moved west that things would never be the same. The family would be fractured forever. This boy lives in about 20 different places from the time that he's 2 years old until he graduates from high school. Bounces around from family member to family member to family member, sometimes twice with the same family member, just to get through high school. Father's an alcoholic. 5 of his male children are alcoholics. Every one of them married and divorced several times because they followed Dad. But the youngest, finds Jesus, surrenders his life to preach, and pastors the greatest church in America. I'm that 2-year-old boy. Kids, there's no excuses. You honor Dad. You honor Mom. I got the opportunity to witness to my father and to be instrumental in him coming to Christ. Amen. There is no excuse. I don't care what your upbringing. Jesus Christ can make the difference. When my wife and I got married, we decided, and we both, by the way, came from divorced families. So we know what that's like. And by the way, we did that. We went through that when it was unusual. It was not the norm. Growing up as a child who didn't have dad in the family in the 50s, in the 60s, lots of times you were shunned by other people in society because there was something wrong with you because your parents were divorced. Today, it's flipped. There are more divorced families today than there are first-time marriages. Do you see the battle? Do you understand what's going on, Dad? I challenge you today. You sow words of wisdom and encouragement into those kids. You spend time with them and you back it up with a life that is honoring and glorifying to Jesus Christ. What happens if we fail? God is angry. And he will send the spoilers. And he has sent them, folks. But I'm telling you right now, it's not too late. Dad, Mom, you be that parent that God is calling you to be. Stand to your feet, if you would, please, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed and nobody looking around. Father, help us today. Lord, my heart breaks for kids who grow up in broken homes. Kids that don't know if tomorrow mom and dad are going to be together or not. And they don't know where they're going to be living. Oh God, help us. There is no excuse for a dad who knows you as Lord and Savior to not be the example in his home that he needs to be. Because Lord, you've told us if we'll take that stand, you'll help us. We don't have to do it alone. We can do it with your help. God, help us today. We can vow that divorce stops with us. We are not going to go that road with God's help. We are going to make a difference. Our family is going to be different. Father, help us today. So many are losing the battle. Help us. Blessed Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. Speak to the lost today that they might be born again in the Spirit of God. Speak to dad and to mom. Help them to do the things that are honoring and glorifying to you. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.